Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me today. If there's a hard heart in this room right now, Lord, I would ask that you would soften it. Reveal that to that person right now. We ask that you would block out all distractions and that this church would be strengthened, Father, to be bold, to proclaim the truth and to blow the warning to a lost and dying world. Bless this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Faithful and True. That's the title today. You know, this past week, early in the week, I found myself drained mentally. My wife can attest to that. I was anxious. I was feeling overwhelmed with kind of all the events converging. I had issues with my job as well. And I was praying all week, particularly early in the week. And God was faithful. Going to the well, he was faithful. You know, things didn't improve at work. The secular part did not improve. But my inner man was being improved. It was being restored. And I finally found myself at the point where I was like, yeah, you know, things are kind of crumbling, but I kind of don't care. I felt light. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because I did. I reset and I shift my focus. I was surrendered and controlled to Jesus. I was walking in joy by the end of the week, not sorrow. I was thinking about the people in this world, my perspective of the worst things are here, and it doesn't even hold a candle to what people are experiencing right now. How fast things are unraveling in this world. You know, it's been 6 years past January since my father passed away. And some of you didn't know him, but you will get to know him someday. I promise you that. But we used to talk about these things all the time. He and I. He knew I had an affinity for the end times. And I think God had a plan. But I've said this before. If he could come back for one day and he would see the times for what they are, he would call it how it is. He would say, my bags are packed, I'm prepared to stay, but I'm ready to go, and I'm going to live that it's imminent at any point. And he would also say that the spirit of Antichrist has blanketed this entire world. And the reality is, there is no place to go here on earth to escape what is coming. There's nowhere to go. There is one place to turn to, though. Amen? There is one who we look to our help, because our help comes from the Lord. The reality is the decline of the world over the last 2 years has been pretty rapid. And I've said this before, many are numb. They're blind to it. It's like the frog syndrome, the boiling frogs, right? They're in the water is getting hotter and hotter as the temperature increases. I'm afraid many are going to be taken by surprise. And as I listened to the leader of the United States speech this past week, I shook my head as I watched this stupid mirage on TV. That's what it is, a mirage. It's a mirage. There's no accountability. There's no plan of change. And this isn't a political message. This is just the truth. It's a bunch of deception. It's a bunch of lies to give a false hope and to build up trust in man. And it's only to further deteriorate this world to usher in a great reset. I want you to think about this. So over the last 2 years, America gained energy independence in 2020. And according to government data at the time, U.S. was actually a net energy exporter. That means we produced enough energy for our own needs, and we could sell the rest to other nations. We were more secure. We didn't need to depend on anyone who really didn't like us for our energy requirements. That's a common sense achievement. In 2021, the U.S. became an energy importer, and current projections show 2022 is going to be much, much worse, folks. And while we watch the headlines of the Russia war with Ukraine, we see the media talking about these sanctions and how we're really sticking it to the man. And they are laughing all the way to the bank. The world is facing the most severe energy shock in decades. The price of gas and electricity have already reached record highs. And we are literally in the midst of sanctioning Russia, but the U.S. and the world is paying Russia record prices to import their oil and gas in the midst of it. That's what I told you. It's a mirage. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. Open back up the pipelines. And even if you were so into progressive plans and ideas for the 2030 sustainable goals, you know, the green energy, you don't just flip a switch on that stuff overnight. Infrastructure has to be built to do those things. It just doesn't happen. So common sense would be a multi-pronged approach, using fossil fuel while you're doing this over here. But the reality is we are beyond the stage of comprehension. We are beyond the stage of reasoning. We are seeing Romans 1 all over this world. And even as they did not like to retain God their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind. We are in the Romans 1 world where consciences and minds are seared, so no truth, no wisdom can be applied. They've been given over under the spell of the wicked one. It's like, there's no logic. The world is reeling from incompetence of leaders who are fools. I think about the movie Lion King. I'm surrounded by idiots. They have no shred. I mean it. They have no shred of wisdom. There's no virtue. It's backhand deals all along the course. There's no concept of justice. None. Lawlessness increases, is what Jesus said, when the end comes. There's no honor, and most of all, there is no fear of God. None. None. They shake their fists and they spit at that concept. Because the idea, what Satan wants, is to blot out all knowledge of God, to blot out all thought of Jesus. Wipe it clean. He desires to be worshipped. And the reality is these fools, these leaders are nothing more than pawns on God's chessboard, his sovereign chessboard. Daniel 2:21 reminds us that he removes kings and set up kings, and this is playing out exactly by God's design. He's allowing this to happen. He's allowing things to take place because he has a plan and a purpose, and his ultimate glory will be made clear and will be made known. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse sometimes with this. But when I read Revelation 6, 1 through 8, and I see the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I see the white horse rider who sat on a bow and crown was given to him. We see the fiery red horse, which is which is the war horse. We see the third seal, and I heard the living creature come and see, and I behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, a quart of wheat for a denarii, and three quarts of barley for a denarii, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Headlines in the Gateway Pundit. Russia bans fertilizer exports to crush global markets. Earlier this week, Tucker Carlson invited Iowa corn and soybean farmer Ben Ricci on his top-rated program to discuss the massive inflation we are about to see in food prices here at home. According to Ricci, the grocery prices may increase up to $1,000 per month due to Russia's sanctions on fertilizer. It's embarrassing how little most people know about fertilizer. What it means is it tells us the implications of the sanction, Carlson asked. Soaring fertilizer prices are likely to spike food prices, Ricci said. If you're upset that gas is up a dollar or two a gallon, wait until your grocery bill is up $1,000 a month. And it may not manifest itself in terms of price. It could be quantity as well. Empty shelf syndrome must just be starting. I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. Up $1,000 a month, Carlson asked. You can kind of see him ask that question. Sure. The price of growing my crops or the major crops, corn, soybeans, wheat, rice, cotton, are up 30 to 40%. They are on my farm, and most of it's fertilizer. Nitrogen prices are up three times from the last crop we put in. Phosphorus and potassium have doubled. Also, it takes energy, natural gas, to actually make fertilizer. It's one of the articles I had read about. More importantly, food crisis. This is in Zero Hedge. Food crisis. Hungary bans all grain exports effective immediately. This is the article. Those who have it are no longer giving it away, and those that don't will soon find themselves in the middle of an epic food crisis. Just hours after we reported that Russia effectively banned exports of fertilizers, moments ago, Hungary, one of Europe's most grain-rich nations, Germany imports 25% of their grain from Hungary, has circled the wagons and realizing which way the wind is blowing, announced that it will be banning all grain exports effective immediately in a statement. Hungary is known for producing corn, wheat, sugar, beets, barley, potatoes, and sunflower seeds, as well as grapes and wine. This morning, they had listed countries that are dangerously and almost exclusively reliant on Russia and Ukraine for their wheat imports, highlighting Turkey, Egypt, Tunisia, and others facing an Arab Spring-style food crisis and potential uprising in the coming weeks unless the Ukraine conflict is resolved. It's the new conflict, which a new solution needs to be given, folks. Worse still, natural gas is required in the manufacturing process for most nitrogen and fertilizer products. And so the recent surge in European natural gas prices to record highs will only exacerbate the cost of fertilizer in addition to the halt from Russia. Do you see how it's interconnected? Energy, fertilizer, to the food that's being created that will be put on tables. The article goes on and says, all hell is about to break loose, not only among food producers, but soon in your local grocery store, once U.S. consumers realize that food prices are about to double, triple, or expel more. Some of the sanctions, we turned off Russia from the SWIFT. I'm making you aware of this because you need to understand. And like we talked about, where we're moving to a digital platform. One of the Federal Reserve chairmans, not the head chairman, but one of the regional governors from New York, affirmed again, we really need to move to a digital platform to assure that people have access to safety, the safety of the U.S. dollar, but it needs to move to a digital platform. I told you we were in a comment period on that already, but it talked about moving to the SWIFT, or the SWIFT-D platform. That means where Russia can't change its currency. And it talks about how many businesses in Europe import substantial amounts of goods from Russia, including wheat, minerals, and technology, but there's no way to actually pay those businesses for so the exports have ceased, causing further economic damage to Western businesses operating in the UK, France, Germany, and Spain, and contributing to the product shortages and supply chain distributions that only get far worse. And it talks about, again, fertilizer again and energy. Those businesses have lines of credit and owe money to many Western banks. When those businesses go into default, which is already beginning to happen, the banks that loan them money will suffer a swarm of loan defaults that were entirely unexpected. This article talks about it. This is, by the way, this is Mike Adams and Natural News. And he talks about this and he says, this is like a black swan moment. It could be a black swan moment. And he says, when SWIFT disconnected Russian banks from its system, it broadcasted a powerful history-changing message to the world. Think about, this is the perspective. Think about what they did to Canada with the protesters and how they shut off the funds. You understand? Now listen, if you want to have a reliable commerce on a global scale, don't use SWIFT or the dollar. Otherwise, your nation or bank or business can be cut off at any time merely because you have a political disagreement with the current U.S. regime. Thus, right now, there's a mass exodus away from the reliance of the SWIFT system. There's a push into the Chinese yuan as a more stable currency and a big move rapidly into cryptocurrencies, as this situation highlights the perfect use case for crypto. For these reasons and many more, there's a global rush away from the dollar and dollar-based control systems such as SWIFT. It's almost as if Biden and Western nations were actually trying to detonate the dollar and bring it to its knees, ending the 75 years of dollar dominance in one grand suicidal leap off a cliff. These aren't just off-puts. One more, folks. The Washington Standard, and it talks about as World War III escalates, get ready for a terrifying breakdown of our food and energy systems. If you believe that your life will continue on as normal, and I've heard this but from even my coworkers, if you believe that your life will continue on as normal because the war between Russia and Ukraine is on the other side of the globe, you should think again. We were already facing the worst energy crisis since the 1970s before the war broke out, and Russia is one of the most important energy producers on the entire globe. As energy markets are thrown into further turmoil, energy prices will go to unprecedented heights. And as I've documented repeatedly, this is an article by Michael Snyder, again in the Washington Standard, in recent months, the global food crisis has just continued to get worse as global food supplies have continued to get tighter and tighter. Normally, Russia and Ukraine export vast quantities of food to the rest of the world, but the war is going to change that. We really are facing a horrifying breakdown of our food and energy systems that is going to affect every man, woman, and child on the entire planet. In all these factors combined, food, war, fuel, inflation, currency, etc., to create a total collapse of the world we once knew. Forget about affordable food or just-in-time delivery of anything. The world is about to become extremely inconvenient, expensive, and broken. It needs a reset. With a new leader at the helm. And it won't be a nation, folks, that's at the helm. It's a system, a new order, one with one horn leading the other 10 regions. Zephaniah 3:8, therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation. That cup, that wrath of indignation is filling. It's at the brim right now with all the garbage that we see going on in the world. To pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. He's gathering them. He's allowing them to gather together. The article from Michael Snyder finishes with this quote. We really are heading into a nightmarish breakdown of society, and all of us will be shaken to the core as it happens. And I say no. Yes, this can shake you to the core if your foundation is on sand. But if your foundation is built on the rock in Christ, the anchor of your soul, you can let your inner man lead you in joy, knowing your redemption is drawing near. So blow the trumpet in warning. I share these articles with you. If you want, I'll send you the links. Just ask me. You can take heed. Listen, it's not fun saying this stuff, but you can either take heed and seek the Lord, or you can seek someone else to tickle your ears. and just tell you how good it is. Yo, King Ahab, standing in front of Elijah, didn't want to hear what he had to say. Instead, he surrounded himself with the prophets of the grove and the prophets of Baal to tell him what he wanted to hear, to tickle his ears. Jeremiah proclaimed, and it's like he's doom and gloom. We don't want to hear what you have to say. But he was faithful. The truth is, knowing the times does not make it easier, but it does help us to brace ourselves. And most importantly, to examine ourselves. Where are we at today in the faith? Is my faith and trust in the leaders of this world and their solutions, which are lies, or is my faith and trust in the only one who is faithful and true? Because there are many that will be deceived by the lying signs and wonders of the Antichrist. The man of lawlessness is the opposite of Christ. He's the Antichrist. He is the unfaithful one. He is the false one. So I say the opening text again. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him is called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. He's called faithful and true, the Lamb, who is the Lion of Judah. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And we see in Revelation 4, he stands up and he takes the scroll and he opens the seals, which I just told you is Revelation 6. Those are the first four seals. And we could see those things building right on this earth, folks. Opening of the seals, which initiates the sequence of events of God's prophetic plan to commence, and it finishes with what I read with him riding forth. King Jesus on a white charger. He's faithful and true. This is our God. Some need to get right and start living like the king. They understand the king who ransomed them. Our duty and our service is to him. The Holy Spirit, his spirit resides inside you. For such a time as this, to be bold, to proclaim the truth, even when it's not popular. You need to know in whom you trust. He loves you, and he cares for you. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart. In full assurance of faith. Assurance. In whom my faith is in, right? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Even in the midst of what we see, no wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. That's our God. He's faithful. And let us consider one another to stir up one another in love and good works. You know what good works is? Telling your family the truth. Telling your coworker the truth of what's going on. Yeah, you'll be probably marked. That one, that crazy one, huh? Hopefully it penetrates enough to know when things get more out of control. They were speaking truth to me. They cared for me. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's undeniable, folks, the things going on in this world. Our God is faithful and true. Faithful, the Greek word, pistos. It's one you can rely on. Yeah, how many of you have been let down by people before in the past? Not our God. You can rely on him. It says you can count on, and he is worthy of trust. Amen? And he's true. Alethimos in the Greek. It's truthful. That's which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature. corresponding to the name in every respect, corresponding to the idea signified by the name. It's real, it's true, it's genuine. It's opposite to what is fictitious. It's opposite to that which is counterfeit. It's opposite to that which is imperfect. It's opposite to that which is defective. It's opposite to that which is frail and uncertain. Our God is faithful and true. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Why? Because he knows the heart of every man. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Man, that's good stuff. That's our God. That is our God. His power is guided by his holiness, his righteous wisdom. It's such a contrast to what we see today. And he's omnipotent, which means he knows all. He sees all. No masquerades. He's also immutable, which means he's absolute. And so are his words. He is wisdom. He is love. He is grace. He is holy, holy, holy. And he is a righteous judge. And better, he is for you, child of God. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? You can count on him. Some of the verses I love, Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, will he not do it? Will he not make it good? Titus 1, 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We are his. Hallelujah. And he is mine. The anchor of our soul. Sure. And steadfast, not shaken. Sure and steadfast. He is the contrast to the Antichrist. He is contrast to the false white horse rider. See, the Antichrist is full of lies and deception, just as Satan parades as an angel of light. Inward a murderer and a liar, the father of lies. But the deception will be so great the world will think the Antichrist has all the solutions and will be so impressed only to be deceived to an eternity in hell. The promise of peace and prosperity and in turn will destroy, kill, and enslave the world. Yet, even this evil kingdom is going to be destroyed. Why? Because God's word says it will. And God is not a man that he should lie. The difference to all that is false in Satan and his kingdom is our God is faithful and true. He shows grace and mercy to those who seek him. And it is only his rule that will be perfect and eternal. And in righteousness, the faithful and true one, as he rides, in righteousness he judges and makes war. That is his aim. That is his plan. His first coming, he came as a lamb to be slain, full of grace to pay the penalty of sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death. He was judged for our sin, for our missing the mark. But with his second coming, he is coming as judge, and he is coming to make war. As the fools of this world fill up the cup of indignation, earth dwellers, you're an heir, child. He defeated Satan at the cross, but the time will come for Christ to wage war and judge and remove every enemy of God. And he does it righteously, because all were given the opportunity to repent. And he will purge this world of all its filth and its evil and sin. And it's going to be sudden. It's not some long siege. In Revelation 19, the heavens open quickly and he comes forth out riding with his army. That's us. And the war he makes will be on for those who rejected him. Psalm 96:13, he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. He will war with righteous judgment, which will prelude his righteous reign for 1,000 years. Amen. Again, circling back on opening comments, our country, this world, is covered in gross deception. And you can hear the four horsemen galloping, folks. Having rejected God, we are now in a Romans 1 society, which means God must judge. And it's here. And you can bypass that judgment. That's the good news. There's still time. Just as in the book of Exodus, the death angel came to take the firstborn male. But there was God's grace, the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost that passed over, a foreshadow of Christ and his accomplishment to come. And you can know that if you breathe your last breath, you will be with the Lord forevermore. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and he's coming back again. That's the gospel, folks. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22, Hebrews 9:27 through 28. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Behold, he comes, our heaven's champion. Hebrews 10:12 through 13, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. We are in extended grace right now. We are in extended grace, and that door is quickly shutting. It's quickly shutting. Psalm 33, and I'm going to read this to you in the New Living Translation. Verses 4 through 5 and 10 through 22. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. Amen. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. And listen to this in verse 10. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations, and he thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, rejoice. For we trust in his holy name. He is faithful and he is true. That is his name. It's written on it. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Oh, that just is, it comes out. It excites me. And 6 years ago, I was not like that. It just builds up. It just, our God is going to establish his rule and his reign on the earth. And his son is going to take away his bride first. And then his eternal kingdom will be proclaimed with the second coming in the not so distant future. I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. You see, we have two choices. Really, you only have one choice because you already made it. But if you haven't, you have two choices. The reality is all are going to see his glory. And you can either receive the condemnation and the pouring out of God's wrath and judgment of that which you have rejected. Or you can be in reverential fear and awe in the presence of his majesty, seeing perfect face to face because you put your faith and trust in him who does not lie. And therefore, because of faith, and only because of faith, you can become a child of God. Amen. Not all are children of God. Amen. It is by faith you become a child of God. Amen. By the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. So if you are wavering, today is the day. No more wavering. You must, A, admit you are a sinner and you need a Savior. You cannot save you. Your war horse cannot save you. It cannot save you. You hold on to that nugget and you share that with people. My Bible says your war horse cannot save you. There's none righteous, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That is the death penalty. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Admit, you're a sinner. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's right. B, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, says he who is faithful and true, the living word of God. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. You could be a whosoever. No more wavering. Put your faith and trust in him now. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the full assurance that it gives us. And the hope that is set before us. Just as you looked to Jerusalem and you were steadfast, so we are steadfast, keeping our eyes on you, that we would be faithful to proclaim the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.